a tool for people to connect with the universe and begin to understand it.
TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. And now, back to Jim and Randall for more Lawyers Who Needs Them.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hartman.
And Professor Stanley Staccato in the orchestra playing a little Johnny Rivers.
I got to tell you,
piano,
when he plays that piano, as fast as he plays, his fingers never leave his hands.
He's amazing.
Yeah, terrific.
I don't know where he went to school. I think it was Juilliard.
I think
School of Beauty Design.
That's right. Barber College.
Hey, well, listen, we got one more arrogant, arrogant,
person,
rich, and famous, but she's our favorite, Lindsay Lohan.
Well, we've been following her.
Right. Well,
not,
so is everybody
not stalking
else.
Her.
No,
following,
just following
the story,
her story,
the news.
Of
right.
course, because we're journalists.
That's right. If we are, I feel sorry for the freedom of the press. So,
well, anyway, she's out in a record 14 days of a 90-day sentence.
Yeah, well, she's
because she's so good.
Right. She's out of jail. She's out of the fire into the frying pan or something like that, because she left jail, but she's going into rehab.
Oh, okay.
So the point is, the 14 days is probably normal for this kind of a thing in Los Angeles County or in California, because they have no more room in the jail.
The jails are full.
Are full of them. So they can't, the 90-day sentence, they got to let her out to let someone else in.
I see.
I mean, it's like a revolving door, and that's probably, somebody could examine a whole prison situation in the United States. But at any rate, Lindsay is going into rehab, and the judge changed the rehab place because she was afraid where they were originally going to send her, some outsider could slip her some substances, so they got her to a different one, West Los Angeles, where they don't slip substances so fast. And they say, somebody said she has a bipolar disorder as well as addiction to methamphetamine and other stuff. Well, she probably has some of these things, but the way she was brought up, I feel sorry for her.
All I can say is we need to bring Schwarzenegger into the justice system there and run those jails, because he would take care of it. Here's what he had to say.
You're a funny guy, Sully. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
See, that will clear those jails out.
You mean all that space between the time he was going to do
my
it?
My finger, that's called fat fingering. I couldn't get the finger on the button, on the trigger.
Is Randy there?
No, he fell asleep.
Okay, Randy.
I'm sure he can subtract it.
I hope he can.
And
do
this
that.
Too. Okay. All right, well, it's time for questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right, we're here with questions from our loyal listeners from all over the United States. Professor, do you have your thinking cap on?
Yes, I do.
All
I
right.
Do indeed.
Are you ready for the first question?
Wait just a minute. My cap is thinking.
Oh.
All right.
Are you ready?
Right.
I saw smoke.
Right.
Bill from Denver, Colorado writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the difference between libel and slander?
Well, that's a good question. Libel, L-I-B-E-L. As opposed to liable, which means you are liable to somebody responsible. But
right.
Libel, L-I-B-E-L, is written defamation, and slander is oral defamation. So if I call somebody a bad thing and I defame them, and then orally it's slander. If I do it in writing, it's libel.
Okay.
And,
there you go.
And there's not much difference in the rules that apply to them. I mean, if something is libel in writing, it would be slander if it was oral and so forth.
And so forth.
So, you know, like you call someone a criminal when they're not, and they sue you for it. So that's the difference.
Okay. All right, Bill. I hope that helps. That's a good question. That's really common question.
Yeah, it is.
Chuck from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is a writ of habeas corpus?
Well, it's really one of the most important writs we have. It's one of the extraordinary writs. The word writ just means, as the word says, something in writing. It was like a summons, a piece of paper that the mm-hmm. king sent originally.
Right.
A writ of summons, a writ of subpoena, a writ of get rid of the bugs.
Right.
It's a writ.
Just like the Ritz brothers.
That's right. The Ritz brothers. And the writ is one that says, in Latin, it says, bring forth the body. You have the body, because the court is asking you to bring the person who is confined or incarcerated to question the right to incarcerate him.
I see.
So that it is a writ to determine whether or not someone is being wrongly held.
I see.
And it's used in a variety. For instance, if I'm a husband and I take a child, let's say my child,
mm-hmm.
the wife can actually institute a proceeding and ask for a writ of habeas corpus.
Uh-huh.
So to make the husband come with the child, produce the child.
I see.
See?
All
and
right.
then he can explain by what right he has that child in custody.
Okay. That's a good answer.
Yeah. This is, and it extends to criminals who are wrongly incarcerated.
Right.
They say they're in jail for no good reason.
And they
an unconstitutional reason. So they have to go in. And you use that writ.
Writ of habeas corpus, which has nothing to do with the writ of habeas corpuscle.
No. That's a different writ. That's a writ when you have a Band-Aid that goes. And you used to write on them.
Yeah.
The little things like on you write on a cast, you write on. Yeah. That's a writ of corpuscle.
Oh.
Because underneath are corpuscles.
I see. Okay. Good. Thank you. Alan.
Did that make any sense at all?
Yes, it did. Made perfect sense.
If it made sense to you, you're a nut.
Chuck,
are you out of your mind?
Chuck, don't ever write us again.
That's right.
All right. Alan from Richmond, Virginia writes, Dear Jim and Randall, why is there often a disconnect between the severity of the crime and the sentence? For example, a manslaughter conviction sentence can be less than a robbery conviction sentence.
Well, that's true. Of course, again, this depends on the various jurisdictions and how they classify voluntary manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter, first-degree robbery, and so forth. For instance, let's assume that a robbery conviction, the man gets a sentence because it might be his second offense. Even if it's not, it may be he intended to rob.
I see.
Now, in the manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter is where you'd never intended to cause the death,
mm-hmm.
but it happened, and it happened not intending to do harm. So that's one definition. And some places will have different degrees. Some call it voluntary, involuntary. Some call it first degree, second degree. But yes,
so there's
you
some
can have,
subtlety to
well,
this.
Yes, you can have
okay.
A
and
long,
context.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, we have time for one quick question. One more quick question, if we might. Peter from Omaha, Nebraska writes, Dear Jim and Randall, am I legally married if I said I do in an intoxicated state of mind while on a trip to Las Vegas? And he adds, yes, she is a dancer.
Well, that's a good question, because if you were fraudulently induced into the marriage, that can be annulled. But apparently, until it's annulled, I suppose you're married. I mean,
I hope she's a good dancer.
Well, she danced him in right to the JP there to get married, didn't she?
She sure
did. And they danced him right down the aisle both ways. Yes, you probably are married, but can get it annulled if you are married under false pretenses and fraud.
All right. There you have it.
What do we have?
But if he was just plain old drunk... He's married.
That's right.
All right. We're sorry, Peter. Stay away from Las Vegas. But don't stay away from this program. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We'll be right back.